This program is underwritten by the Greater Haines Chamber of Commerce, advocating for a supportive business community.
The following program is a production of KHNS. Its content does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the Board of Directors and staff of Lynn Canal Broadcasting Incorporated, the licensee. Good morning. This is Lynn Canal Voice, a public affairs show from the KHNS Newsroom. I'm News Director Emily Files. Today, we're talking about one of the most pressing issues facing Skagway, its port. We're taking advantage of our pledge drive setup in Skagway to put some guests on the air over there. We have Mayor Mark Schaefer, Port Commission Chair Tim Borsey, White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad President John Finlayson, and White Pass Director of Strategic Planning Tyler Rose. Although we're a little limited on microphones, so I think a couple people might have to share or switch back and forth. And also we have Scott Legur from Port Consultant Moffitt and Nickel on the phone. Thanks, everyone, for taking the time to do this.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So this week, city and White Pass officials met to discuss a proposal from White Pass. And all I know so far is that this is a proposed amendment to the current Tidelands lease between the two parties, and that it would make way for a floating addition on the ore dock. And that ore dock modification was recommended by Port Consultant Moffitt and Nickel. And their message was basically, if you want to be able to accommodate the larger cruise ships that are coming in 2019, adding on to the ore dock is the most feasible way to do that. And their recommended modification is estimated to cost about $14.5 million. So there was a special assembly meeting last night to discuss the proposed lease amendment from White Pass, and the meeting was in executive session. So, Mark, did the assembly make a decision last night?
No, of course not. We went into executive session to confer with our legal counsel, ask a few questions. Then we came out of executive session and we basically decided we would give some input to the committee that is talking to White Pass, which is Assemblyman Cochran, Assemblyman Hansen, and Bob Blasco, our counsel. And then we'll put that together, probably talk about it again, and send something back to White Pass.
Okay, so negotiations are ongoing on this proposal.
That is correct.
Okay. And is there anything else you can share publicly? I did hear from Tim Cochran that the proposal would basically clear the way for this ore dock modification. But is there anything else that you can say?
You know, we verbally talked about it a little bit. I don't want to try to quote what was said last night, but you can probably get some of the audio. And I think our intention is to, you know, just get it into a public discussion quite soon and move forward with getting this dock modification done so we don't lose ship traffic in 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad that you brought up the public aspect of it. Does the assembly have a plan for how it's going to involve the public in this round of negotiations? 2 years ago, the Assembly was criticized for not being transparent enough when it was negotiating a Tidelands lease extension with White Pass. And the refrain after that lease extension failed in a public vote was transparency, transparency, transparency. There needs to be more. It needs to be more of an open process. So is that something that you, Mayor Schaefer, and the Assembly have talked about with this new proposal on the table?
Yeah, we essentially intend to get it out into the public. We actually talked about that a little bit last night. I guess we could say the assembly wasn't quite ready to do that, but there will be public discussions on it, hopefully very soon. And you really can't get any more public than a public vote, as in the last time it came around. So we'll see how the conversation goes.
Do you think that this proposal will require a public vote?
What we're seeing in front of us right now will not require a public vote. This is within the requirements of a decision at the table. There was a little bit of discussion about that back and forth last night, so we'll see where that goes.
So I want to turn to Tyler and John from White Pass. So since the fall of 2015, the Assembly and White Pass have exchanged a few letters but not taken much action to resume negotiations or come to some other agreement to foster progress on the port. So Tyler or John, whoever wants to take this, what motivated White Pass to take action now and bring the municipality a proposal?
I think you've touched on a lot of things there, Emily.
And this is Tyler, correct?
This is Tyler. Yeah, sorry about that, Emily. And I think the timing is right for this. The port consultancy with Moffitt and Nickel has been a highly public process moving forward and had a lot of input from the community. And the infrastructure needs make this moving forward imminent, that we need to do this for our economy. And looking at the options that they offered and all of the factors from the prior lease that we put together, it seems like a good time to resume these talks and move forward.
So it was really the Moffitt and Nickel process that brought this forward?
I think it was multiple things. I think the letter from Cruise Line International Association notifying everyone that we need this infrastructure in place for our community to take the larger ships, that there is no chance to stay at status quo. Our traffic will either increase here in Skagway or decline if we don't have the infrastructure to meet it. And I think the community knows that, and coming forward with that, as well as some proposals on the remediation, are some of the hot button issues that people wanted to see addressed.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Tyler, to add to that, I think that the municipality, the assembly, recognized that letter, Moffitt's reports, and also requested that White Pass submit us something.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's been a lot of letters and things happening at the meetings recently. So, Tyler, you referred to a letter from the Cruise Lines Association that was urging the municipality and White Pass to do something very soon to get ready for the bigger cruise ships. And then I also believe you referred there, Mark, to a letter that the municipality recently sent White Pass saying that you wanted to sit down and talk about what to do.
Right. Yeah, we recognize that, it's absolutely imperative that we get something moving on here. We're going to miss a ship. Likely not only in 19 but in 2020. That's what I believe, that's what I see coming, and we really can't afford it. The municipality carries we're the number two spot for bond indebtedness in the state after North Slope Borough, and we are number three in sales tax, or not sales tax, tax revenues per capita in the state. That's why we can carry our bond debt, but we really can't afford to be losing out on those revenues within the municipality.
Right, that tax revenue comes from the sales tax, which is greatly supported by the cruise ship visitors.
Sales and cruise ship head tax both combined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, Tyler, is White Pass willing to cooperate and let this ORDOC modification happen without a guarantee that the lease will extend past 2023?
It's a difficult question, and I think, you know, at this point we're looking to move forward together with this proposal, which is a lease. You know, as you look at the totality of this, a lot of the issues that have come up is that of public-private partnership. In order to make sure that this is financially sound for the community. And we're coming forward with that in this form with a lease. It's the environmental remediation. We have portions that address that, as well as greater municipal control of the uplands. And we're looking for a mutually beneficial agreement here, something that can help the municipality with their desires, as well as us as a private business move forward. And quite frankly, is Skagway's largest employer, and we like to think largest attraction.
So perhaps this isn't public yet because the proposal is still being negotiated, but does the proposal include an extension on the lease? Is that one of the requirements still from White Pass in order for the municipality to get access to do these improvements?
What it is in portion. It breaks up into different parts. It's not necessarily access for the improvements as it is working together on construction for that. It's not an individual one or the other. It's our proposal is that we work together towards putting that infrastructure in.
So, Mark, I know you said you can't get into the details of the proposal right now, but can you say generally whether you're feeling optimistic about it? Do you think that this is the way forward?
I think it's important to keep in mind that we the municipality, originally approached White Pass with the desire to share a project and to do some of these upgrades we're talking about. And that would, as Tyler said, require a partnership to do it, not just for access or anything like that, but for cost.
What's the next step from here?
I think the next step is for the assembly to get their thoughts together, start a public discussion with it, get ready to send something back to White Pass to see how they feel about it.
Tim Borsey, let's turn to you. You are the chair of the Port Commission, and this issue of Skagway's port and the stalemate that's been going on for the past couple years has definitely been a big part of your day-to-day life as a port commissioner. What are your thoughts on the fact that there is a proposed lease amendment on the table and the municipality and White Pass are in negotiations again?
Well, I haven't really seen it yet, so I don't really know anything about the specifics of it. I think it's kind of a natural progression for White Pass and Skagway to see if they can't find a solution for a path moving forward. I think, the hang-up is more about how that'll be structured.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get into that later on in the show. I want to turn to Scott Legere from Moffitt & Nichol, the port consultant that has been contracting with the municipality to come up with some recommendations for moving the port forward. So, Scott, could you just summarize Moffitt & Nichol's short-term recommendation that was presented earlier this month, the ORDOC modification?
Good morning, Emily. Yes, I'd be happy to do that. And it certainly has been a privilege to work with the community of Skagway over the last several months, starting all the way back in January with our first open public meeting, where we really were challenging residents who maybe haven't talked about this issue together in a while or had need for, as you mentioned, greater discussion opportunities to really start to think about in the short term, what are their priorities on the waterfront? And we moved through a process that had a total of three different points of interaction with the community to really challenge them to think about, then to help us conceptualize, and then ultimately agree on a preferred direction forward over the short term, and then some of the other recommendations that came out of the plan. And to your question, the core recommendation that came out is exactly as was discussed with by your guests, that of the industries that are currently really very active but also have needs, the cruise industry is certainly, over the next two or three years, the one that provides the greatest benefit and has an opportunity to expand a facility, namely the ORDOC, to allow for larger cruise vessels to arrive there. And that really became the core recommendation out of the plan, was to really utilize, I know I keep saying short term, the plan is short term, because there is a series of grants that were available, and our charge was to find things that we can do with the grant monies that are aligned with the community vision of its waterfront. And expansion and improvement of the ore dock to welcome larger cruise ships really fit the bill at the end of the day. And so that became the core recommendation of the plan, was to add another floating facility that will allow for larger vessels, allow for two means of ingress and egress out of the ship, and to really help the community address where the industry is going for at least the next 3 to 4 years.
And why was the ore dock the most realistic place to do this modification that would accommodate larger ships?
Well, a lot of the other facilities, namely the Broadway dock or the rail dock, each have positives and negatives, pros and cons with different configuration of marine facilities, and just the ability and the time frame to make any kind of modifications. And through the public process and the discussion, you know, initially we started out with 10 different big ideas that boiled down to 4 different more specific ideas. And really the community felt strongly that improvements to the ore dock were the ones that resonated the most with them. And there were 2 that were very similar at the ore dock, just sort of different configurations of facilities, but both happening at that location. And it was settled once we got into the pricing and a couple of other components, sort of looking at other aspects of how it would function, that really is, we're terming it option 3B, or really this introduction of a float and 2 gangways closest to the ore loader became the preferred direction forward.
And the estimated cost is about $14.5 million for that.
That's correct. And just keeping in mind that those costs are, you know, at an early master planning level, the anticipated movement forward is, if the assembly validates our conclusions and ultimately decides that it can and wants to and is able to proceed with that project, additional design will really allow for a much more precise understanding of what the final cost will be for the project. But the current estimate is, as you said, $14.5 million.
And the preliminary conversation about how to pay for that kind of project, the municipality has about $8 million in state grant funding for port improvements, which could possibly go towards this. And then there's also a cruise ship passenger vessel tax revenue, which could probably pay for this since it is for the cruise ship industry. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct. There's about $8 million in grant monies that will, you know, expire pretty soon. And currently with the state's present financial picture, grants may not be as easy to come by in the near term. So these are really almost unique funds that Skagway certainly wants to be able to engage in the highest, most economic and socially beneficial way it can for the waterfront. But there is a gap. There is a gap of about $6 to $6.5 million. And the initial thought is that there are excise tax funds available through the cruise line passenger vessel tax fund. And there might be other funds that the municipality could also seek to fill that gap.
And I suppose as talks continue with White Pass, there is the potential for some sharing of that cost. Tyler, do you want to respond to that?
Sure, Emily. As I said before, absolutely. We're looking towards a partnership. It's been something that I think the community has supported, but as Tim said earlier, it's the details of how we get there and put all of that together, and we're absolutely willing to contribute in a fashion, and that's what we're in talks with the city about right now.
Okay, it is 10:20. You're listening to Lynn Canal Voice on KHNS. I'm News Director Emily Files, and I am talking to my guest Skagway Mayor Mark Schaefer, Port Commissioner Tim Borsi, White Pass officials Tyler Rose and John Finlayson, and Moffitt and Nickel Port Consultant Scott Legur. We're talking about Skagway's port. So, Tim, I get the sense from being at and listening to some of the meetings recently that Moffitt and Nickel's proposal, the ore dock modification, It's a sort of a relief because it's a plan, it's a concrete path that Skagway can try to follow, but it's also not the ideal plan. And that's because of time and land ownership and access limitations. So what do you think about this option? Should Skagway go for this $14.5 million ORDOC modification?
Well, I think as it stands presently, it really is the only viable option that we have to really look at, either 3A or 3B. You know, other configurations within the port will require more investment, more infrastructure, and that's going to take a little more time, and you know, the capital cost of some of that is going to be fairly significant. But you know, the importance of what we're doing, you know, in Skagway is we're trying to look at the port as a whole and redevelop the port to make it, you know, more efficient and more effective for the movement of goods, people and services. Not only, you know, tourism related, but also commodity related and fuel and freight related.
Right. And so at the Port Consultant Steering Committee meeting that followed Moffitt and Nichols' presentation of their recommendation, you had some concerns about the long-term prospect of the port, the long-term future of the port being more of having more of a role in this short-term proposal. Can you talk a little bit about your concerns there with if this $14.5 million project does go through, trying to consider what might happen to the ORDOC in the future, and then also other facilities in the port and how they could factor into this short-term modification?
Right. So couple of the issues, you know, that are fairly obvious with regard to long-term potential development within the port is, you know, obviously we have the issue with the contamination. The ORDOC is a facility that is, I would say, lived its useful life. The ship loader that ADA utilizes is fairly antiquated and actually is a constriction within the port that, you know, allows us not to fully utilize the ORDOC facility to its potential. We have issues with regard to cruise traffic and other commercial traffic moving through the port where, you know, fuel barges are having to lay up or they're getting stuck in or, you know, so what we're trying to do is in the long term, figure out a way to reconfigure the port, which also could require movement of some of the leaseholders in the uplands, you know, to make a more efficient and effective port infrastructure. But one of the things that we have to achieve in the long term is additional basin width and additional basin depth to accommodate some of these, you know, larger ships that are coming in.
One of the ideas that came up at the steering committee meeting was that if this floating dock is added onto the ORDOC, and then in the future there was a more permanent renovation of the ORDOC, that floating dock perhaps could be moved somewhere else in the port and be utilized somewhere else, and the ORDOC could be renovated in a more permanent fashion. Scott, I think that Moffitt and Nichol got this feedback from the steering committee that they wanted a little bit more information about how this modification would fit into a more long-term renovation of the port. Is that something that you and your coworkers are, your colleagues are able to figure out, or is it really just, you know, hard to predict what's going to happen and how to use this floating dock in the future?
Well, I think as it speaks specifically to the floating dock, there's certainly, you know, because it floats, it can be redeployed and utilized in a short or, you know, longer term fashion if something needs to change at the ORDOC due to improvements or an expansion of of mining or just other opportunities that may come along. The nice thing about a floating facility is its flexibility for reuse in other roles. As it pertains to the long term for the waterfront, you know, the one of the recommendations that's clearly also come out of the plan, and I think it's a no-brainer recommendation, because the municipality of Skagway and the Port Steering Committee from day one felt strongly that, you know, we need a long-term vision for our waterfront. We know we need that, but right now we have an utmost urgency to identify how we can best utilize funds that are available, but that won't be available forever, those grants could go away. The longer-term vision is one that clearly we feel that this improvement will be able to transition to a longer-term plan, but for us, and I think also for the Port Steering Committee and for the municipality and the community at large, there wants to be another round of discussion about what the long-term vision and future needs to be for the waterfront. And as part of that, I would certainly expect several more points of community engagement and workshops, because, you know, this is their most valuable asset, is that waterfront. It is on their logo. It is the runway and the lifeline to the community. And so I think all parties feel that it would certainly be important that any long-range planning involve them in a very, very comprehensive way.
All right, Mark, I want to turn to you. Back in January, you and a majority of assembly members agreed that Skagway should have a backup plan for the port in case you're not able to come to an agreement with White Pass. And you talked about putting out an RFP for how to run Skagway's port post-White Pass lease in 2023. And this was referred to the Port Commission. So, Mark, where does this backup plan idea stand?
Well, it's sitting there on the back burner, I think. My intention with that was to seek other interested parties in the port to gauge, one, value, and then, two, interest. But we haven't done that. That's something we really just can't do at the moment. Maybe sometime later, but really what we're faced with right now is the loss of a vessel in 2019. We're so time critical, it's not even funny. My calculation is, if we can't get this vessel in here, is a $10 million loss in sales in Skagway and about $1 million in combined sales and head tax. And when you look at the budget situation we went through this year, we simply can't afford to take a loss.
So you're saying right now the municipality needs to figure out how it can cooperate with White Pass on renovating the port for these larger ships, and the idea of coming up with a backup plan post-2023 just is not a priority right now.
Well, backup plan post-2023, if we don't get anything done, is to figure out how we're going to acquire the infrastructure in the port, which we don't own. And this has always been known. The work that Moffitt and Nichols is doing right now is really good. It's giving us a good gauge on where we sat with our last lease, giving us a good gauge on where we stand on moving forward with, you know, getting a project going on to accommodate this vessel, so that Skagway doesn't lose a piece of market share.
You said it's giving you some new insight into the last lease, the information from Moffitt and Nichol. What have you learned about how what they have said about the port kind of factors into the last lease proposal from 2015?
Well, I said it last night. In my view, the lease we had on the table in 2015 was a good deal for everybody. And I don't know if you've done any analysis of Moffitt's recent release of information. They had a meeting yesterday. I got through the information yesterday, but I need to thoroughly read it again. But I would urge you to take a look at it. It's I don't know how many pages, 150 pages of information. So a lot to digest. Gives us more information on, you know, where we stand in the big picture, just what it does to the economy, a tremendous amount of information to digest.
Yeah, I have not gotten a chance to look at that information yet. Are you talking about the economic positioning and market analysis that Moffitt and Nickel was working on?
Right, economic, governance, and environmental regulations. So three subjects, good report. Moffitt's done a really good job with that. Couple that with their basically their land appraisal document, which will be part of this this last submittal that they're doing. I think, Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're due to do a public presentation on that on the 15th or 16th. Is that right, Tim?
15th.
Okay, so that's coming up. It'll be available for, you know, public digestion, if you will, here pretty soon.
Okay, so this is kind of the next step in the Moffitt and Nickel consulting process. They were working on an economic positioning and market analysis, a port governance study, and an environmental and regulatory analysis. I have not seen those documents yet. So Scott or Tim or Mark, any of you want to talk about
Tim,
the takeaways?
Didn't you guys do a meeting on this yesterday? I did not go. I was still busy at work.
Yeah, the draft. We had a meeting yesterday on the draft. So the Port Steering Committee is going to be making comments on that. We're going to have a meeting on the 5th to give our comments back to Moffitt and Nickel. And then they will finalize that report on the 15th. So it is in draft stage now.
So are you talking about all three of these reports?
Well, and including the short term. So this is all the pieces of the report. So the original consulting was on the short term plan. Mm-hmm. And when we got into the short term plan, we realized that we also needed to look at some of the other outlying factors, you know, that really need to be considered in order to, you know, have a proper set of things in place as we move forward. And part of that is what is Skagway going to be as far as the governance entity? Are we going to do what we did in the past, which is just basically lease the port and collect the revenue, or are we going to take a more ownership position in the port? Are we going to ensure that there's monitoring and compliance going on? So the port governance piece is one. The environmental compliance is, you know, basically taking a look at what exists presently in the port, you know, and the governing documents and regulations that are governing what happens in the port. And we're taking that, looking at that to see what things we need to put in place to ensure that, A, those things are actually being done, and B, as we clean up the basin, we won't find ourselves in a position where we're cleaning it up again. So we want to make sure that we have those structures in place moving forward.
Mm-hmm. So port governance. Scott Moffitt and Nickel has been working on this port governance study. My understanding is that it's to kind of see how Skagway compares to other Southeast towns in terms of how it manages its port. It seems like it's a unique setup in Skagway. Is that what you found?
Certainly, that is a very unique setup. The way it's organized now, and part of the port governance report was to provide information to the assembly, to the Port Steering Committee, and to the community about how others conduct themselves, whether it be Ketchikan or Juneau. Or Seward, and bring some of those thoughts for them to kind of consider. I think all of the, as we term them, these modules, were really for the assembly and for the steering committee to kind of populate their toolbox with all this information so that they can kind of look through it, discern it, and decide really what's going to work best for them and for the community. You know, we're glad that we were able to, you know, to bring a lot of these best practices and ideas, you know, to the fore so that they can review them.
Can you talk specifically about how any other Southeast towns manage their port in a way that, could be an option for Skagway?
Well, I mean, I'll maybe pick one and speak specifically to the city of Ketchikan, where we're, we've been engaged now for a couple of years working for the port there in some ways a very similar type of circumstance that Skagway finds itself in is the docks and the in-water facilities are not over the long term going to be robust enough to welcome the types of vessels that are increasingly found in Southeast Alaska. The facilities there, three of the four facilities are direct assets of the city. The port functions effectively as a department of the city, and the city is engaged to both be responsible for all of the things that are both in the water and on the land, from security to maintenance to everything in between. But at the same time, they reap the benefit, the highest level of benefit associated with that responsibility, because those are direct assets that they control. The fourth berth is one that was privately constructed, but they too also serve in a management role in that facility as well. And so, you know, that is a good example of a port governance approach that, you know, if it's a city facility and it's an asset and run and managed by a team that they staff, that they populate, that they put on the payroll, and that they've got the operating acumen to run, which has, of course, a lot of cost and risk associated with it. But you get to a point that if you can do that and do it well, then that is certainly something that Skagway could potentially emulate as well. But it would certainly require different types of investment over the long term if they were to take on that approach for its waterfront.
And here we're talking about post-2023, what the options might be, because there is a lease with White Pass that does not expire until 2023. Tim Borsi, what are your thoughts on the future of port governance in Skagway? What do you think is the best arrangement for the city moving forward?
Well, I think it's apparent that whatever we do, we have to take a more active role in the port and the way it is managed. You know, and I think the glaring example of there are just conflicts on the waterfront and also the contamination issue. So those are kind of the things that, you know, really suggest that we need to take a more active role.
Mark, your thoughts?
I think if I'm not mistaken, Ketchikan is, Scott, is Ketchikan run as an enterprise fund?
I believe so, Tim. Yeah. I'm sorry.
This is Mark.
So. Mark. Yeah, I believe so, Mark.
I don't disagree with Tim, and I think the answer to that is we gain those controls through a partnership and a document, and I'll refer back to basically our lease document that we had. Our legal counsel would say this is how we gain the control. So I think I agree with that statement that, you know, we definitely gain that. And, you know, it's part of what we design in the past.
You're referring to the lease from a couple of years ago?
Correct.
The proposed lease extension?
Correct.
So you felt like that would have given the city the more control over the port, enough control over the port, because it did kind of shrink the area that would have been controlled by White Pass?
We addressed things like some of the things that Tim brought up. Contamination for certain was addressed. Ongoing monitoring, things like that of the port and its environment. So... it's just, yes, that's exactly right. We, you know, we had methods in there to achieve some of this stuff. So I totally agree with that.
Mm-hmm. And I would just say that, you know, I think just looking at Skagway and the way it's been managed in the past, you know, I think a public-private kind of model with regard to overall management within the port is probably the thing that makes the most sense. You know, I don't think, you know, Skagway as a municipality doesn't really need to be in everyone's business. You know, we just need to make sure that they're conducting their business in a manner that is appropriate.
A public-private partnership. So you're saying some kind of private port management authority?
Well, it could. I mean, it could be a. It could be the model that we're operating under now, with a, basically a government oversight role that would be handled through the port department. That would, you know, ensure that there's proper monitoring and compliance. There could be certain sectors of the port that, you know, could be farmed out. It's a discussion we really haven't had yet, because we're still doing the basic research on it. But mm-hmm. it seems to be kind of a natural progression.
So you're referring to the partnership with White Pass, but with perhaps a more active role for the municipality in terms of oversight?
Correct.
Okay. You're listening to Lynn Canal Voice on KHNS. I'm Emily Files, and I am joined by Tim Borsey, Mark Schaefer, Tyler Rose, John Finlayson, and Scott Legur. We're talking about Skagway's port. Tyler and John, I want to turn to you. First of all, I haven't heard anything from John, so I'm wondering if he wants to chime in on anything that we've talked about so far. John Finlayson, the president of White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Emily. Yeah, Mark just passed me his headphone. There's equipped headphones here. The discussion's good, and we appreciate the opportunity to speak today. I think that we're very interested in continuing our relationship with the city in a way that's mutually beneficial to both the city and to White Pass. I would say that both White Pass and the municipality are the two largest stakeholders in town, and I think they work far better as partners than they would any other way. And so I think we've been open and open-minded over the past 4 years, and I think the city has done their best to try to get to a spot where we're both growing and prospering in a constructive, responsible way.
Thanks, John. I wanted to ask you about what you feel like you learned in 2015 when voters turned down the 35-year lease extension that was proposed between the municipality and White Pass. That was something that took years to negotiate, but it went before Skagway voters and it failed. And so I'm wondering what you feel like you learned from that process, and maybe what your thoughts are on how to avoid that kind of rejection of a potential agreement going forward.
I think that you know, the one thing I would point to is maybe making a stronger effort to educate the general population in Skagway, in the sense that, and I think it's a great thing that Moffitt and Nickel came on board to provide a kind of a third-party objective assessment of, you know, what's been going on for the past 25 years and where we should be headed in the next 25 years. So I think that the voting public didn't necessarily have all the facts last time, and I think it's important that we pay attention to the numbers, to what is in the best interest of the town from all aspects, not just a monetary aspect, but as Tim Borsey's pointed out, being responsible from a from an environmental standpoint and from a growth standpoint. I mean, sometimes people can grow too fast and get ahead of themselves. So I think you know, the growth has to be responsible. But I think if we're going to get back into this process again, I think we're off to a good start, in the sense that Moffitt and Nickel have held several public sessions, just as we did before the previous vote. But hopefully they've been a little bit better attended, And I think that, you know, I think it never hurts to hear a new voice and even an objective voice that maybe doesn't have a horse in the race to explain and express their opinion. So I think hopefully we're getting the people of Skagway, giving them a better understanding of what the pertinent facts are.
John Finlayson, I'm wondering, is an extension of the lease between White Pass and the municipality still a requirement for White Pass in order for work to be done on the ore dock?
Well, as we've talked about, the any relationship going forward needs to be a mutually beneficial relationship. If an agreement doesn't benefit both parties, what we find is it fails for both parties in the long run. We've put forward a proposal that we feel will benefit us and will benefit the people of Skagway. So, yes, I would say a lease is important to us. But again, we're going to stay open-minded and try to listen and understand other points of view. But in this case, the time's of the essence. There's not a lot of time to get this done, and so we need to be effective and efficient with how we carry out over the next few weeks.
Right. Yeah, I was going to add that, you know, the last time that negotiations were happening, there was a little bit more of a buffer between. When the bigger cruise ships were going to arrive. Now it's happening in 2 years, so there's definitely a time crunch at play now. I want to turn to Mark and Tim and ask the same question that I asked John Finlayson about what you feel like you learned from the rejection of the Tidelands lease in 2015. Tim, if you've got a microphone on, what did you learn from that process?
Well, I think the process itself, the last time around was flawed, and just in the way it was handled.
In what way?
Well, basically, the municipality and White Pass were creating policy in a vacuum. There wasn't a lot of public input in the process until after the draft lease was put out, and you know, what I heard from the community is they were extremely frustrated with it. And, you know, I think it's, if you were to draw an analogy to something, you could draw an analogy to the way the Senate health care bill's going down.
Interesting. And Mark, what are your thoughts on, you know, this was about a year and a half ago, maybe more, that there was this lease that the municipality in White Pass had worked several years to negotiate, and most of the assembly was in favor of it. You were in favor of it, Mark, but the voters were not. What did you learn from that, and what do you think you can implement going forward to make it more palatable to the voters, a new agreement?
Well, I think the work that Moffitt and Nichols is doing is going to help us immensely, both the assembly and the Port Commission thought this was a good idea. More information, we want to get something viable going on. We have to. To me, there's no possibility we can fail here. We have to find a way to get this done. We're trying a new process, and hopefully we're going to get there.
Yeah, and Mark, you know, I mean, I agree. I think when you guys decided, you know, at looking at what happened and how it went down, and I think part of it was that the public wasn't engaged and they weren't informed, and that's why Moffitt and Nichol was brought on board. And up to this point, I think the work they've done has been great, and I certainly, you know, would encourage people to, you know, come to the public session on the 15th, because that is another open session for them to kind of get the spiel on. What the importance of the port is and what the importance of the cruise sector is. It's borne out in the report. The other thing that's borne out in the report is the importance of the commercial sector, but when you look at revenues to the municipality, you know, it is all crews, and that basically pays for everything we do here. So, you know, it's all really good information. So I think it'll be helpful in finding a path forward.
Well, let's put it this way to Moffitt. It better be helpful. Okay. Just kidding, Scott. Just kidding.
Scott, you heard
that? You guys are doing great work.
I did want to ask about one of the pieces of work that Moffitt and Nickel is doing. The economic analysis, I'm not sure if I'm calling it the right thing, but basically looking at some of the monetary value of the port. That was one of the things that a lot of members of the public said after the lease was rejected in 2015. They said, we need to know how much this facility is worth, because it doesn't seem like this Tidelands lease was really, you know, showing what the port was worth, or the money that White Pass was paying didn't seem like enough to some people. So, Scott, with Moffitt and Nickel, are you going to be able to help answer that question of how much these facilities are worth, and what whatever entity is using them should be paying?
Well, I think, you know, up to this point, ultimately what it's worth is it's almost priceless to the community, because it's an asset that is not renewable. It's unique to that community. What it's ultimately worth too is the value both of its comparables and what somebody would pay for that based on their knowledge base and comparables. The best that we can do at this point is sort of find the areas in between, which is a lot of different information that says, okay, well, if we look at the comparables, these are some of the ranges that might be considered for raw land. And then if you look at some of the improvements, these might be what those improvements could be valued given their age or given the other components as well. And then, you know, also when you look at the economic benefit that it provides, I mean, what it's worth also is then informed by the economic analysis to say, hey, it generates so much revenue. So is there a de facto price that we can put on it from our work? No. But what we can and what we have and will continue to do is find as many of these sort of key touchstones that allow the community, that allow the Port Advisory Group and the Assembly to triangulate what they feel is the value that then best makes it either go into a negotiation with White Pass or go down some other avenue.
Okay, so it's a complicated question.
It absolutely is.
Go ahead, Tim.
I think one of the misconceptions people have is that, you know, you go down and you drive on the docks and you see all the infrastructure there and you think that belongs to the municipality of Skagway. It doesn't. It belongs to White Pass. We leased the land on which they built, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's important that, you know, when people look at that, you know, that they understand that, you know, if we can't reach an agreement with White Pass post 2023, we're either going to have to purchase that asset or someone's going to have to purchase that asset. But, you know, if not, I mean, you know, where we're analyzing it from is the basically unimproved land lease portion of it. And in that economic analysis, there's a, you know, a value of the upland lease properties and what the per square value of that is. And that's important with regard to us, you know, getting into lease agreements with, entities such as Temsco and Petromarine and AML and ADA in the future, and what the value of that property is.
We are running out of time, but I did want to check in real quick about the contamination issue. Right now, White Pass is contracting with a company called Golder to conduct a risk assessment of the contamination at the port. John or Tyler, whoever's on the mic right now, where does that risk assessment stand? Do we have a timeline for what's going to be happening next?
Yes, we do, Emily.
We're
looking towards the... Yes, it is. This is Tyler. Excuse me, I've got a bit of a frog in my throat.
We're looking towards the fall of having that risk assessment complete. It was required by excuse me, by DEC to have any type of remediation. It's the first step towards that. Currently, the sampling has been completed, and we're in the lab phase, and that testing takes quite a bit of time. And once that's put together and we have a characterization of exactly what's there, and have that risk assessment in place, then we can move forward towards a remediation plan under the oversight of DEC, which I think is something from the last go-around with the lease we found people were very interested in. And we've made great progress on that the last 9 months.
Is contamination cleanup part of White Pass's proposed lease amendment? You might have already mentioned this.
It's a separate agreement that we're looking at. One of the things we found is that we understand that it was the number one concern of the community, or one of the number one concerns, and in our overall document, we were looking towards addressing all of those things. We got some passerbys here.
Yeah.
you know, we were looking to address that. We were looking to address some of the transparency issues, and I think Moffitt and Nickel helped with that. And we were also looking through this Moffitt and Nickel process, I think people had some more information, and were able also in this deal to give more access to the municipality, which I think hits all the high points. But the remediation is definitely something we feel in the proposal is going to be met and make the community and please the community and those who are obviously concerned about it.
Do we have any idea when the cleanup might happen?
I can't put a time frame on it right now because a lot of it depends on the testing as it comes out with those results. As well as some of the access issues, not just as far as White Pass, but not interrupting any of the businesses that operate down there. I don't think anyone is interested in interrupting AML or Petro or ADA as we work through that. So we're looking to proceed prudently. I know for many it's an urgent issue, but if we don't proceed prudently and responsibly, you know, much as Tim said, we don't want to have to be cleaning up the same place twice or interrupting our economy or causing more problems than we have to. So there's not an immediate time frame on it. It will come out, but believe me, it's something we're taking seriously and moving ahead in the quickest, most responsible manner that we can under the oversight of the DEC.
Yeah, and I do want to add that the potential ORDOC modification that was recommended by Moffitt and Nickel, the Moffitt and Nickel consultant said that modification would be able to happen even though there is contamination in the basin. But it seems like that if the cleanup does happen and the ORDOC modification is put in, there's going to have to be some working around that new infrastructure. So we are going to wrap up now, but Mark, I wanted to end with you. I was looking back at some past stories where the Assembly has been kind of agonizing about the situation at the port, and you said once that the port is something that you wake up at 2 in the morning thinking about. Do you still feel that way?
Well, yes, I do. And Tim's been there, too, before.
Last night.
Believe me, Emily, these things are really important. If you walk in my shoes, you definitely wake up thinking about these problems and how to get them solved. It's kind of what we do. And I want to go back to what Tim was saying on the waterfront and the infrastructure. It came to me, and actually my lobbyist, in thinking about the port, that the value to that port is what happens up here in town. We're sitting at the Skagway Inn, so it's the commerce we create in this village. And then one other comment I'll make, and that's it. We've always included the contamination from the municipal side is a top priority. If we move something forward here, we're going to deal with that stuff. It's long overdue. We've been trying to get at it. We're going to get at it. And we wake up in the middle of the night thinking about all sorts of problem solving things.
All right, we're going to end it there. Mark Schaefer, Tim Borsi, John Finlayson, Tyler Rose, and Scott Lager, thank you all for joining me today.
And thank you, Emily. And, you know, all you people out there, get out and donate to KHNS. I just put $20 in your jar.
All right, we're going to go back to the pledge drive mode in just a couple minutes. And KHNS will continue to follow the progress of the talks between the municipality and White Pass. That's it for Lynn Cannell Voice today. I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining me this hour. If you have suggestions for topics or guests to have on the show, let me know. You can reach me at news@khns.org. Today's program will be available online at khns.org. This is KHNS, Haynes, Skagway, and Klukwan.